From Spark and Anvil and MathLore, this is Heap and Spire in Chapter 1 of the MathLore cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The MathLore gardens hummed with the quiet of late afternoon. Pip, the new student, sat on a low stone bench, his book pushed aside. For the last 20 minutes, his attention had drifted to the gravel path that wound around the rosebed, and he had been picking up pebbles. Now, a small pile of them rested on the bench beside him. He simply looked at them. Heap spotted him from across the garden. She approached slowly, her usual unhurried pace. The many small, abstract patches on her vest caught the fading sunlight, each one a tiny story. She carried a small cloth bag in one paw. "Pip," she said, her voice soft, "what are you doing?" "Counting pebbles," Pip replied. "I have a pile." "How many?"
41.
"And what will you do with 41 pebbles?" Pip shrugged, a small gesture. "Nothing really. I just like the pile. I like knowing how many there are." Heap nodded. She settled onto the bench beside the pebbles, her gaze resting on them for a long, patient moment. "That's a good thing to like," she finally said. "That is the first thing math ever was. A person, somewhere, looking at a pile of stones and wanting to know how many." Pip considered her words, a thoughtful silence settling between them.
A faint humming sound drifted from the rosebed. Spires zipped over, hovering above the small mound of pebbles. Her eyes darted from Pip to Heap, then to the pile and back again. "Oh," she chirped, 41 pebbles. May I?" She landed lightly on the bench, a tiny, vibrant presence. Heap opened her cloth bag. Inside, small wooden tokens lay nestled, each one carved with a different pattern. She carefully set out 26 of them. "Watch closely," she instructed. "These tokens are tools I sometimes use to teach. Each carving represents a way someone has counted, not in any particular place or time, but simply a method developed across the long story of human ingenuity. Some tokens have little notches, some show groups of dots, others display knot patterns, and some feature bead patterns. They are all valid ways of recording how many of something." Pip leaned in, fascinated. "Are any of them better than the others?" he asked. "No," Heap said, her voice firm. "Each one worked for the people who used it, given the conditions they faced. Some cultures counted up to 10 and then began a new 10. Some counted up to 20. A few even counted up to 60, which is why an hour still has 60 minutes. That ancient way of keeping track has lasted a very long time. Some systems included a zero, and some did not. Every way works. People around the world figured out their own unique methods. The story of counting is the plural of all of those approaches." "So my 41 pebbles," Pip mused, "could be counted in any of these ways?" "Of course. Show me one." Heap nodded. She picked up Pip's pebbles and arranged them into four groups of 10 and one extra pebble. She pointed to the single stone with her paw. "Four tens plus one. This is one common way. If your people count up to 10 and then began a new 10, you would write this as 41. That is what we usually call it." "Yes," Pip confirmed. "Now watch this." She rearranged the pebbles again. This time they formed two groups of 20 plus one extra. Two 20s plus one. If your people counted up to 20 and then began a new 20, you would say the same pile is two 20s one.
She shifted them once more. They became two groups of 16 plus nine. 16 and 16 and nine. If your people grouped by 16s, which has happened in history, you would call the same pile that. Pip stared at the shifting arrangements, a quiet wonder growing in his eyes. "The pile is the same," he said slowly, "but the name of the pile is different." "That's exactly it," Heap confirmed. "Counting itself is universal. The grouping you use to count is a choice. Every culture made that choice differently. The pile of 41 pebbles did not change. Only the story we tell about the pile changed." Spire had been watching very quietly, a tiny, focused observer. Now she hopped along the bench until she was perched directly above the pile. "Pip," she said, her voice bright, "may I show you the next thing?" "Yes," he agreed, eager. Spire tilted her head, her gaze fixed on the pile, which Heap had rearranged back into 4 10s plus 1. She blinked once. "There is something interesting about your pile," she announced. "Not just the count. Look at it again. Really look." Pip looked. He saw 41 pebbles. At first, he saw nothing else. Spire prompted him. "Spread them out, one at a time. Make a square. As big as a square as you can. See what fits." Pip carefully moved the pebbles around. 6 by 6 is 36. He knew 7 by 7 would be 49. 41, then, sat between two square numbers. It couldn't form a perfect square. He could create a 6 by 6 square with 5 extra pebbles left over. "It's between two squares," he reported. 6 squared is 36. 7 squared is 49. Mine is closer to 36.
"That's a pattern," Spire declared. "Every number lives between two squares. Some numbers are squares themselves. Most are not. The distance from a square is itself a property of the number. 41 is 5 away from 36, the square just below it." "That's nice," Pip said, a flicker of understanding crossing his face. "Try another pattern," Spire encouraged. "Pull out the prime pebbles from your pile." Pip paused, thinking. Prime numbers are the ones with no factors other than 1 and themselves. "Precisely," Spire confirmed. Pip began setting aside pebbles, 1 for each prime number. 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 29, 31, 37, 41. He counted them carefully. 13 pebbles, he announced, the first 13 primes. Spire's eyes lit up, tiny points of light. "Now what's special about 13? "It's prime," Pip said slowly, making the connection. "Yes, and 41 is also prime. So the number of primes up to and including 41 is itself prime. That's not always true for every number, but it's true here. That's a small pattern hiding in your pile." "How did you see that?" Pip asked, genuinely amazed. "By looking," Spire replied, "by slowing down. There are many patterns hiding in any pile of 41 pebbles. Some you can see in a minute, some you might not see for years." Pip looked at his pile with new attention, a deeper curiosity stirring within him. "There are more patterns?"
"There are always more patterns," Spire said, her voice full of quiet certainty. "Counting is the first story. Noticing is the second. Together, they are the whole long story of math across every people who have ever lived." Heap nodded slowly, a silent observer throughout Spire's lesson. Her presence was simply a steady anchor. "That is the deep structure," she said, her voice resonating with calm wisdom. "Counting and noticing. Both are universal. Both have many forms. Every culture in every era did both. Some counted with knots. Some counted with beads. Some noticed the spiral in a sunflower. Some noticed the rectangle in a brick. Some noticed the prime among primes in a pile of 41 pebbles. Different surfaces, same 2 moves. "Count and notice," Pip whispered, testing the words. "Count and notice," Heap affirmed. "That is the math," Spire added, her voice a bright punctuation mark. Pip looked down at his pebbles. He counted them again, very slowly. 41. He noticed that 13 of them were primes. He noticed that the pile was 5 short of a perfect square. He thought about the people, long ago, who had first noticed the same things in their own piles of stones and shells and beads. He felt very faintly that he was part of a very long story. He gathered up his 41 pebbles, placing them carefully into a small pouch. He walked back to the bench, picked up his book, and sat down. He started reading again. The book was not about pebbles.
It was about triangles. But triangles, he was starting to understand, were also things you count and notice patterns in. The whole subject, suddenly, was a little less strange. Heap and Spire watched him for a while. Then Heap said quietly, "He's got it." "He's got it," Spire echoed. They walked off across the gardens, and the late afternoon light moved softly across the rose bed.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Heap and Spire. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.